Welcome to Season 3 of The Broken Banquet. Ashley's settled in Houston. I'm still in Costa Rica. But we're both really excited about bringing you more conversations about missions. We hope you'll enjoy this episode. Hello, Ashley.
Hello, Will Bailey.
How are you?
Oh, I'm so excited.
Are you excited? Why are you excited?
Season three.
Yay for season three. It's good to see you again. We've taken a little bit longer of a break than I think we had anticipated, but it's good to be back.
It is good to be back. I'm happy to see your face. And I'm also feel like we left our listeners on a bit of a cliffhanger because I feel like we told them we were going to have like a live episode to culminate our season two with the Boone family and the Bailey family. And we didn't do that from South Africa.
Yeah, my recollection is that we were just having such a wonderful time abiding with one another in South Africa that at no point did it occur to me, hey, we should interrupt this and record something. So I'm grateful that we had that time just to rest and enjoy being with them and with you and Chris. And I don't in any way regret not interrupting that to record something.
Agreed. I think you're exactly right. You know, that word abide, you reminded me, you know, it is one of my favorite words. Yesterday I was preaching and the song before I got up to preach was Abide.
I saw that. It was even your verse about I am the vine and wow. I just assumed as I was listening to your sermon this morning and watching that worship service that you two had planned that. But if I love it when that happens.
No, in fact, I had told the worship leader that I thought it would be great because I was talking about so much water that we should have played like Stephen Curtis Chapman, Dive, you know, Jars of Clay, Flood. We could have gone with all this water theme and they didn't take me up on anything. I even said, because I was talking about Ezekiel, VeggieTales has a Ezekiel saw the wheel way up in the middle of the air. And they didn't play that either.
Well, just stay in your lane, Ashley. Stay in your lane. I'll say that for them. I'll say that for them with all the love in my heart. Know your role. You preached a wonderful sermon. Maybe we can link to it in the show notes or the show notes, either one. I think there's probably folks that would love to hear you preach, and that would be a good introduction to it, maybe. So,
thanks. Thanks for that. Thanks for that encouragement.
So for season three, the idea that you and I have tossed around is kind of following you through your getting your feet on the ground at your new church and meeting all of your 140 whatever mission partners you guys have around the world. And as you get to know them, we'll get to know them. And I think it's going to be an interesting season for folks, and appreciate you being willing to kind of taking us on this journey with you.
Yeah, well, we'll remind the listeners, we've moved from Shreveport, Louisiana to the Woodlands, Texas. And after 11 years in Shreveport, it's been quite the shock to the system, but we're thankful for all of our friends visiting sporadically and keeping us included in their lives. So it's been a sweet connection still. It's a big old honking church, and I took on their role as their pastor of missions. And yes, indeed, 146 mission partners. That's 101 global partners and 45 local partners.
Oh my gosh. First of all, I think that your personal mission there should be for them to change all of their promotional stuff. Needs to say, Woodlands Methodist Church, we're a big old honking church.
Yes.
I think that
tagline.
Great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yolanda got to spend a week with you not long ago. I got to come and spend a couple of days with you guys not long ago. And so we're happy that we got to be among those who have visited you already. And just great to see you guys transitioning into that community and into your role at the church, and excited for what's coming.
And you know what I appreciate about you and Yolanda so much is both of you were here separately, and both of you were here on weeks that were just absolute, I don't want to use the word crises, but they just were just crazy, chaotic.
There was a lot going on.
Just having y'all here was so good. Was so good. It was abiding in the best form.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what we wanted. So mission accomplished.
Yeah. How have things been with you, Will? I know that I think you just got back from a pretty mountaintop moment.
Yeah. Speaking of mission accomplished. Yeah. And I want to talk about this because it really, I think it fits with the what we've talked about already just in the first two seasons of this podcast. And you can stop me at any moment and I'll take a breath because there's just, I'm still processing it. And, but it was one of the best mission experiences I've had in my life. And I think that says a lot because I've done a lot of this and had a lot of incredible opportunities with amazing people in incredible places. And yeah, who would have thought taking a group of 17 Costa Ricans to Charlotte, North Carolina would raise the bar?
Well, let's even go back a little bit. Go back to just talk about that relationship.
Yeah. So when I moved here in 2003 with commitments from three churches who were going to support what we were doing and support us with volunteer teams, one of those churches was a church from Charlotte, North Carolina, Myers Park United Methodist Church. And a month after Yolanda and I got married, the very first team of volunteers that came here to work with us were the youth from Myers Park. And so that church has been a partner of ours since day one, really. Mm-hmm. The only partner that we have currently that has, it kind of can tell a story that goes even back farther than Myers Park is my home church, and it's because they're the ones that sent me here.
Right.
But Myers Park has been in it with us from the very beginning. And after the pandemic, the first team of youth that they sent were seniors from their youth group. And this was kind of their last thing to do together as a group of seniors before they sent them all off to college and all that kind of stuff. And it was just a really special week. We did some extra stuff with that group, kind of some teaching time and seminar kind of stuff with them before we let them go. And it was really good. But the thing, I think the most special thing for that group that week was that they really clicked with the youth and young adults from the church that Yolanda and I and our family go to here in San Ysidro. And they had some amazing worship time and kind of some impromptu sort of fellowship time. And they shared some meals together and prayed together. And it was just really good. And it was everything that we hope will happen as far as volunteers interacting with the local people here and the local churches here. So the next year when they came back, they brought even more youth. And the leaders said, look, that was so good and so special last time. We really would like to lean into that when we come this year. Could we schedule even more time with the youth and young adults from your church? Absolutely. So we worshiped with them a couple of times in the church during the week. We had them come, the youth from our church, come to the Missions and Ministry Center, and we had worship here. And you could really start to see these connections starting and realizing that, like, they're all exchanging, you know, social media contacts and Instagram and all that kinds of stuff. So last year when they, well, this year, 2024, when they came, we just took it up another notch and had incredible worship together, and it led to some really important moments in the lives of a lot of the youth from this church in Charlotte that were coming down. And, you know, started hearing from the leaders of that team after their evening devotion, saying things like, you know, we've been waiting for years. We've had these kids since they were preteens,
yeah,
and been with them through confirmation and junior high and now high school youth group. And we've just been waiting for them to talk, talk. Yeah. And apparently they all just decided this was when they were going to do it. And so their devotional time at night was going on until like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, because everybody was just opening up and sharing. And it meant a lot to the youth. It meant a lot to those adult leaders who have invested so much of their time and energy into the lives of those youth. And so then they said kind of at the end of that week, look, this is so good for us, but there's only a limited number of our youth who are mm-hmm. here. Like, how can we take this experience, especially the worship time that we're having together, back to our church in Charlotte? Like, how cool would it be for you all to come and lead worship for our youth at our church? Because a lot of the young adults that they were connecting with here are the worship leaders at our church, right, and are super talented and so, so good at what they do. And I kind of hesitated for a second, because one of the things that I've been saying to people for years when they come down here is, in spite of all the beautiful things you might feel on a mission experience wherever you go, mm-hmm. it would be a mistake to try and take that back to your local church and impose it on your worship. Just like it would be a mistake for me to have moved here 20 years ago and try and impose liturgy and traditional worship and order and all that kinds of stuff on the church here. Like, that's a church killer. So, but because it's sort of in the context of these friendships and this relationship that was becoming deeper and deeper and deeper, we thought, well, you know, maybe if you guys feel like you have sort of prepared the soil there for us to come into your church and lead people into worship in a way that would be fruitful, then we're up for it. Hmm. So we spent the last year preparing ourselves here and wow. them preparing themselves there for us to go and spend last week being church with our brothers and sisters at Myers Park.
I just love how God works in such great ways of throughout time, through all of these years, he's been laying the groundwork. The seeds have been thrown into the field. They've been sitting there, they've been watered, and now the seed sowing is coming to fruition. And here you are in Charlotte. This is just, it's incredible. It's a great story to see walk all of those years with you.
Yeah, and I have to give credit where credit's due. The leadership at that church, the folks that have committed their lives to the young people in that church and getting them to understand how much this matters, not mm-hmm. just missions, but how much it matters that they make room for Jesus in their lives. Because I was thinking about this morning and wondering, as I tell the story about what's happened last week, how many of our partner churches are going to say, "Ooh, will you come and do that here?" Well, maybe.
Right.
Because just as incredible as this experience was last week, it could have been a disaster. It could have just been us standing there and not work. So I give so much credit to the youth ministry and young adult ministry leaders at Myers Park for, like I said, preparing that soil and getting those youth and young adults to a point where they were ready and expectant mm-hmm. and anticipating us being there and were willing to, just like they do when they're, you know, it's easy to step out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
When you are in another country and open yourself up to experiencing new things. Mm-hmm. When you're in your own backyard, that's a big ask. And I was that was the thing that I was the most concerned about, because, you know, a lot of times you have these mountaintop experiences when you go away. Mm-hmm. But then when you get back and you're around your friends and your peer group and your culture and all that kinds of stuff, I was like, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you get back into your comfort zone, your comfortable life. Like, that's, yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think our concerns about that were completely misguided. And I'll talk some more about kind of how it all took shape once we were there. But yeah, big, big, big thank you to that church community for being ready for us. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing, just as far as preparation goes, is the group that we took with us took this so seriously. I mean, we, of course, we had meetings leading up to it. For a lot of them, it was their first time out of Costa Rica. For a lot of them, it was their first time to the United States. So there's a lot of cultural stuff that we did. We attended traditional worship services while we were there. So some of our meetings revolved around just what liturgy means in traditional Methodist church in the United States and that kind of stuff. But beyond that, like spiritually, they completely embraced how important what we were going to do is. And there were coordinated times of fasting and prayer before we went, and rehearsals. And I mean, they couldn't have prepared themselves anymore. The ones who were leading the worship, the ones who were going to be praying with people who came to worship with us. I mean, every single detail, as much as they could, they prepared for ahead of time so that we were ready for what they were ready for. And it was just fantastic.
That's such a challenge for me too. And I applaud you because, first of all, what a gift you were to be able, you and Brian, who's the leader of the young adults at your church there in San Ysidro, what a gift the two of you all are to be able to pour into the youth, to get them ready, to have all of the knowledge to prepare them so well. So that's number one, such a great gift. But number two, it does give me that challenge of, you know, we've talked a lot before about sending out teams or when they come to see you, and what is the preparation? How are we getting ourselves ready for what God would have us experience when we're in that new context? And I'm still struggling with that here of how do I get the teams that are going to be going out throughout the year? There's just so many, and there's so many people. How do we effectively prepare them so that they can have the best experience possible, so that God can work within them in such a great way?
Yeah, and we've just sort of accepted the fact over the years that every church is different. Every right. group that comes is different. They're all going to prepare differently. Mm-hmm. There are some that do a really good job and take it very seriously. And there's training involved, and there's team building involved. And there's, you know, they want to know what can we read to learn more about the Costa Rican culture before we get there and that kind of mm-hmm. stuff. And there's other groups that, you know, they sign up for the trip. They meet for the first time at the airport the morning they're coming, and they're getting to know one another while they're here.
Right.
And, you know, we've seen wonderful things happen in all of those scenarios. I think this group that we took with us felt without a doubt, there is something that we are being sent to do.
Mm-hmm.
We have been invited by a church to provide something for that church on a spiritual level that church has recognized. It's one of the gifts that we have when they come here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that they have asked us to bring to them as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's different gifts that you all bring to us when you come here. But this was the gift that we have been asked to provide. And we want to make sure that we can do that in the best possible way that honors in the best possible way what God has given to us, and
mm-hmm.
and to be able to share that with them. And so I think it helped a little bit that there was sort of that kind of singular focus that we could zero in on. And so they prepared for that, but also understanding that at any moment plans can change. We may be asked to do something else and that kind of stuff. But they definitely leaned into kind of having this goal in mind, which is for people to feel the Holy Spirit in a way that they don't always feel it. And So
take us there, Will. Take us there.
Oh my gosh. It was amazing. So Sunday morning, we went to the 8:45 service, their contemporary service, and some of the members of the worship band that had come with us played the music for them for the offering. And so that was kind of gave them their first little introduction to who had come to be with the church that week. And then at the end of the service, their worship band stayed on the stage and our worship band got up there with them. And they had like this ensemble worship band playing the closing song at the end of worship, which was really, really good. I got to preach that morning, which it was my first time after 21 years of partnership with this church that actually got to preach in one of their worship services. That was probably the low light of the trip for everybody, but I was happy to do it. And then we spent the Sunday school hour with their I think it was their confirmation age class, and there's like 80 of them, which was awesome.
Wow.
And she's had some Q&A. They got to ask us questions about Costa Rica and church in Costa Rica. And when some of our team members were sharing a little bit of their kind of testimonies and what brought them to the feet of Jesus, realized that there were some things, some very serious things that they had gone through in their lives as teenagers that were resonating with some of the teenagers in this group that they were also going through. So regardless of where you are and, you know, standards of living and socioeconomic stuff, there are some things that people go through that everyone can relate to. And so that was the first kind of clue that, like, all right, this is something might be happening here. And then Sunday night, we had somewhere between 150 and 200 people that showed up to worship together. And the Costa Ricans led the entire service. They did all the music. They did all of the prayer. Brian, who you mentioned, preached the sermon, and I translated it for him. And which is, you never know. I was a little nervous about that too, because I've heard Brian preach before, and gets very excited and very emotional and moves around a lot. He's very dynamic.
Yeah.
And that's not really, there's probably aren't the words that people choose when they describe my teaching
style. I'm glad you said it instead of me. So
hey,
good.
Back,
okay.
Back.
Yep.
Back off. I was so complimentary of your sermon this morning, and you're just throwing stones.
Sorry. Great. Well, so, love a good Will sermon.
Brian and I got into a really good rhythm right off the bat, and I was thankful that several people after the service mentioned just how natural it seemed for the two of us to be doing that together. So that was good, because I didn't want to kill his sermon. But it was as though we had brought all 200 people into our church here in Costa Rica.
Oh,
the way that the ones who had been before kind of spread out among the crowd. And when it was time to jump up and down, they were jumping up and down. And when it was time to have your hands up in the air, they had their hands up in the air. And not just the young people. For a lot of it, I was back in the back. I was taking some pictures and just kind of watching what was happening. And watching first, it sort of happened in waves. First, it was the ones who had been to Costa Rica before, and they were into it. And then you could see the ones around them like, oh, okay, so this is okay. It feels kind of good. And I can do that. I'm free to do this. I don't have to feel so inhibited like I think we do a lot of times in worship. And then the next thing you know, the 50 or so parents who had also come, they're in it. They're jumping up and down. They've got their hands raised. So it just kept getting better and better and better. And by the end of it, when we were asking people if anyone would like for someone from Costa Rica to come and to pray with them as we were singing a couple of songs. And it was just what you would expect. Like, first, nobody raised their hands. And then one person raised a hand.
Yeah.
And then a couple more raised their hand. And before you know it, there's a room full of people, parents included, who are raising their hands, asking for us to come and to pray with them. And that just led to, you know, the floodgates opening.
It only takes a spark to get a fire going.
Yeah, they didn't sing that song.
Okay.
It was, you could just feel it, and it was so good and genuine, and it was the kind of thing where, like, nobody wanted to leave. And so then, like, in the kind of aftermath of that, we start getting text messages from church leaders saying, you're not going to believe the emails and text messages that we're getting from parents talking about, kind of word had gotten out about what a powerful night of worship it had been for everybody. So, I mean, I think we're all still kind of processing, and I think they're still processing. And so that was just the first, that was our first full day there.
That was the end. Oh my gosh.
No, that we had just gotten there.
Started. Oh my goodness. Okay.
So then on Monday, they said, hey, we'd like for you guys to come and worship with our staff on Monday morning. And there were about 35 or 40 people in this staff worship service. And The Costa Ricans did a couple of songs, and then I had the chance to talk a little bit about the communion experience that I had in South Africa that just kind of put everything where it belongs as far as how I understand that sacrament and what it does to us. And then we shared communion together, sang another song, and then their staff said a prayer for us. But then we got their staff into a circle in the middle of the floor, and we gathered around them and prayed, and you know, heard from several of them that they appreciated that, and again, there, you know, there were some tears and lots of hugs, and so we felt really good about that. Well, fast forward to Sunday, and the senior pastor apparently, like Sunday at 6 o'clock Sunday morning, changed his sermon. Okay. And a lot of it wound up being about the experience of having our group in their church this week. And he said that as uncomfortable, once I realized about 3 minutes into that prayer that they weren't even close to being done, he's like, my kind of Americanness kicked in. And I'm thinking about the meetings I've got today and other things I've got to do. But I also realized I'm in the middle of a circle. I can't get out of this. So I may as well just be here. And said it wound up being one of the most profound prayer experiences he's had in a really, really long time.
Oh, gosh.
So
I'll go back and listen to James's sermon now.
Yeah, and we can link to that one, too. I don't think they would mind. So that was Monday morning. And then for the whole rest of the week, like we divided up into small groups of three or four people and went and had dinners with their youth small groups during the week, which also led to times of prayer and worship with them. We had meals in the homes of church families and had time to pray with those families and bless them and their homes and all that kind of, and it was just, I just kept thinking about how often when you and I are asked, the first question, unfortunately, is always, well, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
And what people mean by that is, well, what are we going to build? Mm-hmm. And we didn't really do labor. Mm. But what we did was we worshiped and we had fellowship and we prayed and we were just church together. Now, there were some tasks during the day. We went up to Western North Carolina, and there's a church in Candler outside of Asheville that has turned into a distribution center, and Myers Park has partnered with them. So we got to go and spend a day organizing and handing out donations. There's a lot of Spanish speakers who are coming to that place who haven't been able to communicate well with people at the church. And so we were able to go personally to cars and help them sort through some of the stuff that they were having a hard time sorting through, which was a huge blessing. But I'm certain that when the Costa Ricans look back on this trip, that, what's going to matter the most to them and what will have wound up being the most transformative for them is being able to take that gift of worship and prayer that they believe God had given to them to share into this place that had asked for it to be shared with them. It was beautiful. So I'm just proud of
it. It was like the banquet table was whole again. Like the veil between heaven and earth may have been very, very thin at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I think in that moment, and it's kind of cliche to say, well, we speak different languages, but we worship the same God, and there's truth in that, but there's also way more to it than that. It's not just a recognition of, yes, when you are in North Carolina or Texas or Louisiana or California, and you're sitting in church and you're worshiping God, yes, you are worshiping the same God that when we do those things here in Costa Rica, we're worshiping.
Yeah.
Yes. But that could very easily be us kind of sitting at two different tables. They're just tables in the same room. We were at the same table. And it was just, for me, like I said, I've gotten to do a lot of missions in a lot of places with a lot of people, and there've been wonderful things about all of it. But this was definitely one of the most amazing experiences I've had of what it really means for us to abide and to be church with one another.
Wow. I knew it was going to be a special trip and a special story when Yolanda texted me and said, "It's so cold, but I don't care."
Yeah, that says a lot. Yeah, I guess they had a cold snap that happened when we went up to Western North Carolina. And so the morning we woke, Thursday morning when we woke up there, it was 31 degrees, which mm-hmm. for Costa Ricans is, I mean, that's just horrible.
Cold. It's horrible. Yeah. Oh, for me. Well, yeah. Thanks for sharing that story, because it was fun to follow along just in the pictures that y'all were posting from the week. But I knew that there was going to be so much more richness that was going to come out of that. And it warms my heart to hear how excited you were and how God worked in such a profound way in the hearts of everyone that was involved that week. And I hope that this is the spark to revival for things to come.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope that that's what it is for Myers Park. And and it might be something that we needed as a ministry. And we sort of talked about that a little bit, but when we were there, we talked about a little bit with the group. I think they very much, you know, Yolanda and I go to their church. Yolanda and Isabel and I go to that. We're members of that church. But we also, there's some, I think, a healthy degree of kind of separation between Acts 1-8 missions and that church. It's healthy for us to have a little bit of space where we're not constantly the missionaries in charge of everything. So we kind of need for that to be there, but there's also overlap. And so this may lead to us making some adjustments in how much overlap there actually is. And how are there ways that we can provide some more of those kind of worship experience and fellowship experiences and connection with the volunteers that are coming down, and have that be part of kind of their expectation when they come.
Well, I'm excited for season three, Will. I think that this is a perfect introduction into what season three will be, because so many of the people that I am introducing you to, as I am continuing to get to know them, they have these great stories of how they have been abiding in their context and in their callings around the world. And I hope that our listeners will be inspired by God and the calling in their own life of how they are going to live out what Jesus is asking them to do. So.
Yeah,
I think it's a great way to kick us off.
All right. Well, Ashley, it's good to see you. I'm glad the ball is rolling again. I know we've got some interviews lined up soon, so looking forward to it.
Me too, Will. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Broken Banquet, a podcast by Will Bailey and Ashley Goad. Music provided by Irene and the Sleepers. Join us next week for another episode. He's prepared the table. All things are ready. Come to the feast.